Parsha Shmois begins the Eile Shmois Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma Eis Yaakov Ish Ubeis Evo. Klal Yisrael, these are the names of Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma, coming to Mitzrayim, Yaakov and his household. The Levush Tov Reish Pehei Aleph says for Parsha Shmois Machtirin Bi Yishayahu Haboyim Yashreish Yaakov Shehu Me'ein Haboyim Mitzrayim. If you'll notice, if you listen to this week's Parsha Daftera, it starts off Haboyim Yashreish Yaakov Yotzit Mufarach Yisrael Upolu and further. The Levush gives us the connection between the Parsha and the Haftera. The question is what is the significance of Haboyim Yashreish Yaakov? The Levush is saying is that that is the essence of the Parsha, and that's why the Haftarah follows it. So what is the connection between the Parsha of Haboim Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael coming to Mitzrayim, and Haboim Yashreish Yaakov, of having the Shirashim, the roots, Haboim Yashreish Yaakov. The Kisei David, written by Chido, he says that the reason why the Torah repeats over here, Eila ve'Eila Shmois b'nei Yisrael, and these are the names of Yisrael, these names are already told to us in Sefer Bereishis, is to teach us that even in Mitzrayim, a few things that Klal Yisrael did not change, Leishinu Shemam, they did not change their names, they kept their Jewish names. We know that Paroi called Yosef Tochnas Paneach, tried to change his name. Abulamaisa, the Torah continuously calls him Yosef. He kept the name Yosef. And the whole of Klal Yisrael kept their Jewish names. Who cares? And therefore what? So Kisei David says that the Ephod, and instead of the Ephod, said the Shifti Koh, the names of the Shvatim. Why did it say the names? It said the names as in, we call a street, President Clinton after Clinton, or whatever it is, Obama, whoever, naming the streets after Roosevelt, and the dollar bill has names in it. Is that what it is? Or it's much more than that. The Medrash tells us that Adam, that the Malachi Asharis, we had to name every animal and everything in this Bria, and they couldn't. Malachi Asharis says, what do you need Adam for? Adam was able to name each and every animal, each and every person. What does that mean he was able to name? He was able to get to the root of the person. When we have in the Torah, we have Lashon HaKodesh, it's not just words, it's not just names, it's not arbitrary names to assign certain, to have, that this means deer, so everyone understands, and when I say deer and you say deer, so we all both understand we're talking about a deer, but it's talking about the actual root of the person. We have for years I always wondered the gematria. As a kid, you learn gematrias, you learn as an adult also, but gematrias. It always bothered me as a kid when they're off by one. Off by one. It bothered me. I'm like, I always ignored them as a kid. I remember all the years I ignored the gematrias that were off by one. Hey, you're off by one. I mean, please, whatever you call it, kailul, whatever, you're off by one, you're off, So, many years ago, I came to an understanding that, if you think about it, if I tell you that A is 1, and B is 2, and I give you a numeric value to every letter in the alphabet, and I tell you that, I don't know, cat equal dog, I didn't do the math, but if you, I give you two names, am I going to think, oh, 1 second, there's a connection, cat equals dog. I'm not going to think like that, there's no connection. The Torah is different. He says, Chachamim tell us, and that we know that Lashon HaKodesh is the holy language, and everything has a meaning, every ois has a meaning, every word has a meaning. So then, the fact that the Chachamim can tell me that 400, if a word has 400, and another word has 400, that I understand mathematically to my mind, that makes sense, and I say, oh, there must be a connection, then why can't it be that 401 is equal to 400? If that's what the Chachamim tell me, then that's what it is. A good yesod, whether that's the truth or not, but that's a good yesod. I heard later, a couple of years after that, that maybe a little bit of a better understanding of gematrias. I tell you, you have a table. A table has four legs, and it has a top, a tabletop. So you'd say that the table consists of five different parts. It has five things. Four legs and a tabletop. What I can tell you is that it has a sixth thing. And that is, now that it has the four legs and it has a tabletop, it's a koil is now a table. So I can define it by having not just five things, but rather six. So that's maybe what the gematria, when you have a gematria and it's off by one, and say, im ha-koil, what does a koil mean? You have to know how to use that, you can't just use it however you want, but the concept might make sense. So now Adam was able to identify every animal, every being, and say what its name was. He called an ox a shur. That was its essence of what it was. Kal Yisrael kept to their essence. They had the Jewish names. And they kept Lashino Hashemam. They didn't change their names because they realized that that is what defines them, and that was their essence. And that's when, where did the names come from? We know the names came from the previous generations. Very interesting. The Yesh Chal Torah says, very fascinating story in the Torah, the Parsha. It says that Basya went bathing and she sees a little thing floating in the water, a teva, and she reaches out her hand, and we all know the story. She says, Moshe, why in the world was she sticking out her hand to save this baby? There was a decree in Mitzrayim that all the baby boys get killed. What was she doing? She was the princess, she was the Bas Pare. What was she doing? So there's a little bit of spooky stuff here, but the Yishal Torah quotes from the Sefer HaGilgulim that Basya was actually Chava. She was a Gilgul of Chava, and Moshe was a Gilgul of Hevel. Hevel was Chava's child. So the Yishal, Moshe is Moshe Hashes Hevel. That's Moshe was the Gilgul from three people. So he says is that the reason why Basya stuck out her hand was it's a natural instinct. It was a mother hearing her child crying. What is the essence of the Basya? Chava was not created from a... She did not come from a human being. We know that the Adam Rishon was created by the Rebbeinu Shalom, and then he took a bone out of Adam Rishon. But the Rebbeinu Shalom himself was the one who created Chava. So she's called Baska Yud-Hei. That she's the daughter directly of the Rebbeinu Shalom, which is the connection to Chava. The Be'er Yosef says that in a little bit later in the parasha it says that the Baruch Hashem calls out to Moshe, V'yar Hashem kisar l'yoyis v'yikre elav alaykim mitoichas nevim Moshe Moshe v'yemer hineni. There was a burning thorn bush that was not getting destroyed. What was the significance in showing that burning thorn bush? And the pasuk says, "Vayomer, al tikev halom shalom alechem al raglecha, ki amokin lashet ha'omed alav ad mas kodeshu." And then he tells him to take off his shoes because this place is ad mas kodesh. So the reason why that there was a burning thorn bush that was not getting destroyed is no matter what's going to happen to the Klal Yisrael, how much they're going to fall, they'll never get destroyed. They might be on fire, but they're never going to get destroyed. So he says, is that what does it mean? Asher ato imed alav admas kodeshu. What made it into admas kodesh? What was this? What was the cause? This admas kodesh was the same place where Avram daven and Yitzhak daven and Yaakov daven. And it's brought down many svarim in a place that people daven, a place that people learn. Kever Rachel, very interesting. Kever Rachel, it's not so simple. It's a big machlokes if she's actually buried there. Could be Kever Rachel was not really buried there. But when someone goes there to Yisrael and they go down by Kever Rachel, it could be she was. She's not really there. That's not where she's really buried. The whole thing with Kehanim, Hakayam going, it could be there's a space of not the Tfachim, but it could be it's not there. But you should know something. Even if she's not buried there, there are so many hundreds and thousands of millions of people that have gone and davened in that place, that place Taka has Kedusha. Even if Rachel is not there, even if Rachel Yemeir is not there. There's such a concept. So the Pasuk is telling us is that Bereshit tells Moshe, take off your shoes. You should know, because this is Admas Kodesh. This has Kedusha. Where is the Kedusha from? The Kedusha is from the Ovis. It's from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They already implanted Kedusha in this place. This is going to be the Mokim Kedusha. This is the place. It's already implanted here and it's just coming out. Mayim Beis Yeshiva quotes in Medrash. It says in Mishle, Pesi Yamin L'chol Dover. Pesi means a fool. Shoyt Dehem L'chol Kol. A fool listens to everything. Pesi, someone who's a fool, is called a nar, a child. The Medrash says, Rabbi Yeshua Akoyin by Nechemya, that the Rebbein Shalom, Hashem Gila L'Moshe, he was, Rebbein Shalom didn't want to, when he called out to Moshe, Vayikra Elav Elikim. the Baruch Hashem called out to Moshe. And if he would have called out too loud in a high voice, in a loud voice, he was going to see, Moshe would have gotten frightened. Had he done it in too low, Moshe wouldn't hear. So how did he call out to Moshe? The Medrash says is he called out to him in the voice of Amram, in the voice of Moshe's father. And Moshe said, "Is what do you want, father?" And the Baruch Hashem said, "Is I'm not your father, I'm the God of your father." And then the rest of the psukim go on. What is the Yisoid? What is the connection between saying this pasuk and the Medrash saying? The Medrash says, "Pasi Yamin l'chol davar," and then it tells us this ma'isa about how Moshe Rabbeinu heard from the Baruch Hashem the first time, and he heard the voice of his father. So the Ma'ariv Yisheva says, Schwab said that a child is—it's easy. A child generally is a pesi on some level; he's a fool. He listens to his father. He believes his father. He doesn't question his father. That's a very big lesson that we have to try when we do avoid this HaKadosh. The Baruch Hashem called out to Moshe Rabbeinu the first time, and he called out like his father, that you should look at me like your father, like your actual father, and you're a child. And you shouldn't do, when the Baruch Hashem calls out to us, and the Baruch Hashem tells us what to do, it shouldn't be with questions that we don't understand, what does that mean? We should act on a level of pesi, of quote-unquote foolishness. It's certainly not foolishness if we listen to the words of the Rebbeinu Shalom, but with this, not questioning. We accept it, and this is the way it is. Perhaps that's the pshat in the connection between the parsha and the haftarah. Haboy miyashvish Yaakov. How did Klal Yisrael survive? We have the whole Sefer Bereishis. Bereishis is all about the Avos HaKadosh. It tells us from the start to end about Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Shvatim, and we go through stories. Why do we need to know all this? And then it starts with Parashat Shmos, Ve'eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael. And the Haftarah is Haboam Yashish Yaakov. The Iki Yisrael is that we have to stay connected to our roots. We always have to remember where we come from. Klal Yisrael, Lashinu HaShemam, they didn't change their names. They were keeping to their roots. We have to build on what we have from before. We can't create something anew. We have to take all the koiches that were put in by our Avos, the Avos HaKadoshim, and our fathers and our forefathers, and with that is what we're able to sustain. How Klal Yisrael, how are they able to survive Golos Mitzrayim? How are they able to exist? Such tumah, the 49th level of tumah, and the answer is Haboam Yashvish Yaakov. Ve'eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael. These are the names. Klal Yisrael kept to their roots. They didn't do everything right. They did have errors, but they kept to their roots still, and that's what kept them going throughout all the years of Mitzrayim. Pasuk K says that he called Nefesh Yoteyach Yaakov Shivim Nefesh VYosef Hayiv Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Rashi says, "VYosef Hayiv Mitzrayim." Valehu Ubanav Hayiv Bchal Shivim. When it says called Nefesh Yoteyach Yaakov Shivim Nefesh, it was 70. Yosef is included in that. So why does the pasuk have to tell us VYosef Hayiv Mitzrayim? So why does the pasuk come to teach us? We know that. To teach us the tzidkus of Yosef. Who Yosef was son of? Who Yosef shayim mitzrayim and asim melech v'amad b'tzidkei. This is the same Yosef. He was stuck in Mitzrayim. He was the melech of Mitzrayim, and he stayed in his tzidkus. He stayed always at tzaddik. Why is he telling it to us over here at this point in time of Klal Yisrael coming down? No, the point that the Torah is telling you is Yosef stayed at tzaddik. Why over here is it pointing it out to us? The Ben Yishaya says, then it says a little bit further about Yoko Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef, that the Melech Mitzrayim did not know Yosef. What does it mean, did not know Yosef? He did not know the great chesed of Yosef, and the great wisdom of Yosef. Yosef was a tremendous chachma, how he saved up in the years of plenty for the years of famine, how he kept the whole systems. It wasn't just that. He had whole systems of exactly how to do things, how to keep things flowing, how to get the economy going. However, he'd be here today, maybe help us over here in our fiscal cliff. But he understood exactly the economics and how to keep everyone going. And he was tremendous chesed. He was mispanished the whole world. He kept the whole world, they gave him food. Chedushirim says, it says in Bereishis, Ki tayavas Mitzrayim kol roye tzoin. Yosef, when he called down Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim, he said, "Tell Paroi that you're shepherds. Tell Paroi you're shepherds. Why? Ki seyavis, because it's an abomination." Yosef, with this tremendous chachma, was telling Klai, so you should come down to Mitzrayim. And when you come down to Mitzrayim, Klai can say, what do you people do? Oh, we're all shepherds. They can say, shepherds, we don't want you in our neighborhoods. Go to Goshen. Stay out of Mitzrayim proper. You go in this little outskirts of town over here and stay over there. The Shirim says is that Yosef was giving them the best advice how to stay Kaddish. Stay away from the Mitzrayim. Don't try to intermingle with the Mitzrayim. Don't try to become their friends. But rather, tell them that, you know, we don't belong with you. We're lower than you. Send us to Goshen. And if we'd stay surrounded with our own people, then we have a better chance of staying in B'Kedusha. The problem was that Klai Yisrael wanted to intermingle, and that's when the Klai Yisrael started having problems. Rav Diskin says, in a similar vein, and it says, it says in Pasuk Zion, Vnei Yisrael, Paru v'yishritu yabra v'yachatim v'oy boy, Vati molei ha'aretz oysam. He says that the words Vati molei ha'aretz oysam means that Klai Yisrael became entrenched in the land. Which means instead of focusing on Ruchnius, they focused on the Gashmius of Mitzrayim. And that's what caused them to have the Arida and to ultimately become Avodin Tepari. Ben Ishchai says that when the Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim, they had three things that helped them stay Kaddish that Yosef didn't have. He says, and the Pasuk tells us, it says is, Eresh Mois Nesho Haboim Mitzrayma. He says is, Mitzrayma as opposed to Mitzrayim. What's the difference between Mitzrayma and Mitzrayim? The Ben Ishchai says Mitzrayma means not Mitzrayim proper, but rather Goshen. So number one, how are Klai Yisrael going to stay Kaddosh? When they came down, they went to Goshen, stayed away from the rest of Mitzrayim. Next, it says, Eis Yaakov, Ishu Beisiboyo. They came down with Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu. If Yaakov Avinu was with them, that itself was the Shmir. Yaakov Avinu was, his Kedusha was, he was the Bechira Avos, and with the Shvatim coming down with Yaakov Avinu helped protect them as well. Ish uvesei bo, that they came with their household, but they didn't come by themselves. Each, the Klai Yisrael came as a bunch, they came as a group. There's strength in numbers. Klai Yisrael came down, the shift they caught came down 70 in number, they all came down as a group together to keep themselves Kaddish. Yosef, on the other hand, he didn't have any of this. Yosef was alone, he was sitting in the Chayim proper, he was the Melech there, he didn't have Yaakov Avinu with him, and he wasn't surrounded by a whole family. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. You should know, even though by Hikal Nefesh Yaakov Shem Nofesh, that they all had all these milas, they had these three milas. But Yosef was in Mitzrayim and he still stayed Kaddish despite he didn't have these three things. He still was able to remain Kaddish. Shach HaAlter says interesting that in Mitzrayim there were 10 different sharm, 10 different gates. The Mitzrayim didn't want to let Klai Yisrael out. They used Kishuf. They drew an image on each of the 10 sharm a different animal. A shar, a kelev. They drew a picture of an animal, an image of an animal, and through Kishuf, if anyone would try to leave through those sharim, that animal would stop making noises. If it was a shar, if you try to get out through the entrance of the shar, you'd start hearing a shar's sounds. It says a little bit later, when Klai Yisrael were leaving, it says, "V'chol v'nei Yisrael yechatz kelav l'shenei." No dogs were barking. How come no dogs are barking? Why should they be barking? So he says that the Klai Yisrael left through the shah where there's a dog on top. The dog was the most common animal in Mitzrayim, and that's where Klai Yisrael was leaving through that entrance, or that gate. And nonetheless, even though they had their kishuf, but certainly the Kerech Le'Ben Sham superseded their kishuf, and Le'yechatz Kal Shana, there were no dogs barking. Yosef, I said, we're talking about Tumma Mitzrayim. They had all the kishuf and they had everything. Tumma Mitzrayim. The Pasuk is telling us over here that Yosef, even though he was stuck in Mitzrayim, and when the Klai Yisrael came down, they had the strength in numbers, but Yosef still fortified himself. When we live in Golos, we have to work on ourselves to be like Yosef. Halavai, we should be able to try to stay like Yaakov Avinu. We don't have Yaakov Avinu with us. We should try to stay like the Shvatim. But we have to try to use these mechanisms, keeping together, staying together, having the right tzviva, so we can stay Kaddish and do the proper Avodas Hashem. A little later in the parasha, Vayomer, Paroi sees the astrologers tell him that there's going to be a savior in Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be born. He comes up with a plan. He's going to throw all the babies into all the Jewish boys are going to get killed. He tells Shifra and Puah, Miriam and Yocheved, that they should go when they see that there's a boy born. They should go and ben huva mitnos and basi v'chaya. You should go kill all the baby boys. The question is very simple. Why did Paroi trust Miriam and Yocheved? Why did he go to them? Why didn't he have, if Paroi had an army? Why didn't he ask his army, you guys go out and kill all the baby boys? Why did he tell Shifra and Puah? Why did he tell Miriam and Yocheved? And more than that, the pasuk says is that Paroi himself, Ayyemim Melech Mitzrayim, Lami Yalde Sarai Vios, Asher Shemo Acha Shifra Shemo Shem is Puah. Why did Paroi himself have to go? It's like Paroi himself, the king himself, went down to these two people, Shifra and Puah, and Miriam and Yocheved, and told them, go kill all the baby boys. Why did he himself have to come down? It says in Aderes Elio that Paroi knew that the Jewish nation is a very holy nation. He knew as long as the Rebbeinu Shalom is on Klal Yisrael's side, he has no chance of winning. He has no chance of winning. No chance of killing the boys, whoever he wants. He has no chance. He was hoping that if he would come down himself, he himself would come down, and they would say the king himself is here, they usually get intimidated. And they would veer away from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And if they veer away from the Rebbeinu Shalom, then he would have a chance. They didn't send, he himself went, because he was hoping that would help them get into the mindset. Oh wow, Paroi himself came down. He told us to kill the baby boys. It wasn't just an edict, it wasn't a decree, but he himself came down. That's what he was coming to accomplish. And the Pasuk tells us, Hashem achas shifra v'shem Hashem is puah, that didn't have a chance. They didn't fall for that. They didn't care that he was the part of the Melech Mitzrayim. And the answer there when they respond to him, it actually says is that, v'yayimah v'taymarna hamiyalis el Paroi. The Pasuk says, v'yayimah Melech Mitzrayim. The king of Mitzrayim came to tell them what to do. When they spoke to him, and they said, they called him Paroi. And there's only one Melech. It's the Melech, 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 Baruch Hu. Not Paroi, nor anybody else. And he wasn't the Melech, and he wasn't going to intimidate them. Shach Alter says, actually in numerous sources, that Paroi, the same you say that he wanted them to do a chet, Paroi wanted to be mezana with Shifra and Puah. He knew that Miriam and Yocheved were very prestigious in Klal Yisrael, and Miriam was the Gadol Hador's wife, and Yocheved was the Gadol Hador's wife, and Miriam was the daughter of the Gadol Hador. Aaron was Pashas the Gadol Hador, and he actually wanted them to be mezana. That's what he was trying to accomplish. The Kisei David says, the Ramban says he said, that ladies, there's no chiyah for them to be the Avi Yehari Vayavar on Znus, being that they're not an active participant. And therefore, there's no mitzvah for them to be a Yehari Vayavar, rather they should not let themselves be killed. So what's shot over here? Kisei David said that they allowed themselves to be killed. They didn't listen. They were taking a chance that Paroi was going to kill them. What were they doing? So he says is that the Mukhi Yosef says that if you're from the prestigious of Klal Yisrael and you think that people are going to follow you because of that, and you're going to make a statement, so then even Nashim allowed to be Mekayim and Yehor Vayava. And therefore, Yocheved and Miriam realized what Paroi was trying to accomplish, and they weren't going to let that happen. And therefore, they were ready to risk their lives, even though they didn't have a chiyuv to. They were ready to risk their lives so that the rest of Klal shouldn't take a lesson from them, which would bring down the entire level of ruchnius in the whole Klal Yisrael. The Be'er Achmeisha says, he quotes the Veikir Rabba, "Bezchus shegod Yisrael atzim Mitzrayim min erva nigelum Mitzrayim." For every Shifra Rapua, he says that in the Schus, that Klal Yisrael were Shomer, they made sure they did not do things of Erva. It was in that Schus that they were actually saved from Mitzrayim. Shifra and Pua, he says that you say it of Tznius, that Shifra and Pua were very makbid on Tznius, in Chavin and Miriam, to make sure that they would Tznua. They didn't allow Pari to come in and infiltrate them, and to teach Klai Yisrael a different way, and that's why it has been their schus that Klai Yisrael survived. That is perhaps the pshat over here. And it says, "Vayim Melech Mitzrayim Yalos Arius Hashem Achas Shifra Hashem Hashem Is Pua." And then it says, "Vayim Beyalat Chanas Arius Yisam Alav Noyim." There's a little delay. There's a better question. But to end, Yalos Es Lekim, Vayasur Kasha Dibra Alei Melech Mitzrayim Ata Chayena Es Hayelodim. They didn't listen, and the Chayena Es Hayelodim, and the Parshas Yelodim means boys. They lived. What else happened? Pare told the Shifra and Pua to go kill the baby boys. They didn't. That should be the end of the sentence, the end of the pasuk. Obviously, if they didn't kill them, then they're alive. What is it? Chayenes hayilodim. Yilodim can also mean boys and girls. Doesn't have yilodim. If you want to say boys and girls, you can say yilodim as well. The Shifra and Pua azeicha that they kept Gantz and Klai Yisrael because they made sure not to bring down the level of Ruchnius by having Pari come and they should do anything of Biznus or Tznius issues. They kept to their religion faithfully and they did not allow themselves to be brought down on the lower level of Ruchnius. It is in their schus, not just the boys were saved, but all of Klai Yisrael were saved. And the pasuk tells us that they got that vayitev alikim amyalos v'yiru miyasim oid vayhi kiyor amyalos alikim miyaslahem bottom. And Moshe says, I'll tell you before that for one second. There's a my grandmother was nifter a few months back, and I spoke right on Levaya. It happened to have been unfortunately I'd gone to a whole bunch of Levayas previous to Levaya, and I heard this phrase by all the other Levayas. It was he was a grandfather or grandmother. He loved the grandchildren so much. They said, they loved the grandchildren. I didn't understand those. And they said, I mean, as a from person, the goyim that they say is, and he loved chocolate cake and ice cream. And then they serve, and they outside on the side over there, they serve chocolate and ice cream cake, because that's what he loved. I mean, that's what we're saying in the person, he loved his grandchildren. I mean, most people, I would assume, love their grandchildren. Well, what's the mile? I'm not saying that they weren't, that the other advisor heard they weren't saying the same point. But what I was saying, as my grandmother was, is that the ikkah was, is that they saw the continuity of Klai Yisrael. What Moshe says is that the first, you want to know what the schar that they got was, is that they saw Klai Yisrael got stronger. That was their real schar. And then they also got schar, they also got malchus and kahuna. But you want to know what the ikkah schar, Moshe says, was that when you were trying to do something, and they wanted to save Klai Yisrael, that's what they were trying to accomplish. And they did. That's the biggest schar that you can see that you accomplished. I said about my grandmother who went through the war, and she didn't ever think that she'd have children. She never thought she'd see the continuity of Klai Yisrael. She was in Russia, and what Klai Yisrael went through in those years. But the Iker, she couldn't believe it. And when she saw the grandchildren, she saw the great-grandchildren, she saw what the continuity of Klai Yisrael. But she was able to see Klai Yisrael to continue to go future generations, and she was able to see the building of Thurbeis HaMidosh from Hebe Menu Amen. Have a good chance.